Today is the optional memorial, the feast day of St. Angela Merici, who was a sister in the 15th century of Italy and founded the Ursuline congregation, that congregation known for teaching. And today we remember her at this holy hour dedicated to the sick, especially under her patronage for those who grieve the loss of parents. And she is the patron of those who grieve the loss of parents. She was orphaned herself when she was only 10 years old. Both her father and her mother died, and her sister shortly after. And so I think her life was certainly marked by that grief. It's interesting, too, to look at that and sort of imagine how that might have affected what she did next, right? Because as a young woman, she founded this Ursuline congregation, which was dedicated to the teaching of girls and young women, dedicated to the education of women in particular. And this grew up in a very kind of organic way. In the small town that she was at, she would look at the young girls walking around and see that they lacked education, that they did not know the faith, that they did not know how to conduct themselves. And I think she was more than a little bit frustrated with their parents who were failing in these duties. It's always a dangerous thing to sort of imagine the inner life of saints and the sort of psychology and what they might have been going through. But I think there's a pretty clear connection there, right, between the loss of her parents and the frustration she showed with those who weren't being good parents. Right, looking at these girls who had parents that weren't doing their job well and imagining her own life in which her parents had been taken away so young. And there's a way in which her grief that she carried throughout her whole life, her grief at the loss of her parents, was turned into a great act of love, right? Caring for young girls and young women and teaching them and devoting her life towards creating what she herself did not have. There's a way in which grief can turn into love, a way in which love is still colored by grief, but not dominated by it. Not defined by it. Right? She could have very easily been bitter, right? She could have very easily been vindictive and just simply taking a look at what others had and not spending it well, right? Spending what she didn't have the opportunity to. But instead, she turned it into this great act of love and service for others. And I think that's only possible because of her great faith and her great hope. Right, that she had faith that Jesus was still with her and with her parents, that nothing could firmly and definitively separate those joined in baptism. And she had a great hope. Right, that promise of reunion in heaven begins here on earth in a hidden way. And out of that faith and that hope, her grief was turned into love. Love that was certainly colored by sadness, perhaps given a greater depth, greater character, a different kind of beauty, but not defined by sadness, no, defined by Christian hope. And so, my brothers and sisters, tonight, as we pray before the Lord in the Eucharist, let us ask Him to pour into our own hearts and into the hearts of all who grieve that faith and that hope. Not so that grief might be wiped away as if it never was. That would be unsatisfying. That's not what God has in mind for us. But rather, so that grief can be transformed into profound acts of love. Love which is all the more profound, all the more beautiful, because of what it has suffered. After all, that's the image of Christ's love for us. Love which is more profound and more beautiful because of what it has suffered.